Well, I mean, AI is obviously changing our worlds, and changing our worlds faster than we could probably comprehend. AI is obviously interesting. I still wouldn't use it to really create a retirement plan for myself. Again, it's going to be some one of those things that's going to give you more of a cookie cutter type of answer versus something that's completely customizable to you and your situation and what you want your legacy to be.
You're listening to Cary Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Cary Lutz. Well, two fears in life. Well, one main fear that I have, and I'm sure many of you out there do as well, and that is that your money is not going to outlive you or outlast you. You're going to outlast your money. And that is a nightmare, because what do you do then? Go back to your kids? Last thing you want to do, because they'll put the screws to you. You know, they're going to be controlling your life. And of course, retirement, the concept of retirement, you work 25, 30 years for the same company, and then they give you a gold watch and send you on your way, and then you retire. And so many of you out there know people who passed on in like a matter of months after their retirement. So, hey, I'm in my 60s now. Retirement has absolutely no allure to me whatsoever. It had more of an allure, Eric, than when I was 40, than when I hit 60. So go figure. Eric Mangold is with us, founder of Argosy Wealth Management, and in my birth state, New Jersey. Eric, it's great to have you on the show. So what of this retirement thing? We got this article from CEO Larry Fink, BlackRock, saying time to rethink it. Is that just a question that he wants to raise the retirement age and all that to cut down on the Social Security deficit? What's up with that?
Yeah, Cary, thanks for hosting me. Glad to be here. Yeah. So BlackRock CEO Larry Fink came out and said, I think people really start to need to rethink retiring at age 65, because like you said, who's really retiring at 65 now? And was that just the date that everybody did it? Or is it just... is there some significance outside of when, you know, that's when Medicare gets kicked on? Like, why is it 65? You know, and we're living longer too. So is 65 really the date? And for more and more people, it doesn't seem like it is.
Right. Yeah, for sure. You know, I don't think I'm unique by any means. I think that the drudgery of work for our parents' generation perhaps led them to want to escape it. Many of you out there, your parents were in that situation, but now it's changed. Work, not that it's necessarily more important part of our lives, but the role that it plays, I think, has been recognized as something way beyond just actually putting in your 9-to-5 and getting a paycheck. There's social aspects to it. There's a mental acuity aspects, and, you know, my best friend, he retired like 3-4 years ago, takes care of his grandchildren, travels and all that. And I thought about it for a while and I just said, there's no way I can do this. I can't do it, Eric.
I mean, the BBC came out with a study about 12 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, that said that people that retire and don't have a game plan, the rate of depression increases by 40% within like 6 months. So it's, you know, retirement kind of sounds all great, like, oh, I'm not going to work anymore, not going to work anymore. But that honeymoon doesn't last all that long. And, you know, 1-2 months of not working and you're like, okay, this is great. This is great. You did all the home projects that have been, you know, on the honey-do list forever. You took care of those. You took care of the martinis by the dock and everything. But now it's like, all right, what's going to make me happy? And sitting around is not going to do it for most people.
Yeah, I think a good rule of retirement, and this is what I did when I moved to Florida, is I don't drink. I don't have any alcohol until the sun goes down. except sometimes on the weekend for brunch or something, but I'll never drink if the sun is out. And, you know, the other thing is, what do you do when you're retired and you don't have that plan? You wind up watching a lot of news, and nothing will make you more depressed than watching news. So I never watch news on television. I'll only read it because, you know, a lot of it's manipulation, gaslighting, and all that. So, all right. But some people have to retire for health reasons, family reasons, take care of a loved one who needs them to be a caregiver. So for those people, what do you advise?
Well, I think that in those cases, and those happen a lot as well, is what is the plan? I mean, the folks that are caregivers, they're really in lies their activity, right? They're a caregiver. They're not sitting around and then trying to figure out that, hey, it's 11 o'clock on a Tuesday. What am I going to do today? No, their full-time job is taking care of a loved one. And that's what's keeping them active. I mean, it's not the most positive environment, but it's certainly keeping them active. But I think for anyone that's really considering retiring and not working at all, really needs to have a plan. And what that plan really needs is going to be is, okay, what do they want retirement to look like? What do they want their money to do? And what do they need their money to do? And what I mean by that is, okay, they obviously want their money to last. They want their money to grow. They want their money to be there when they need it. And then what do they want it to do? Is it travel the world? Is it, you know, start the side hustle? More people who are retired post age 65 are starting these side hustles now, because you know why? They can. The environment is great for the side hustle. So a lot of people are retiring or maybe stopping working at 60 to start the side hustle. But anyway, for those people that need to retire, having a plan. If the Boy Scouts say the best time to have the map is before you enter the woods. And I think that really applies to retirement too, because you got to have your plan. It's not a DIY project. You know, you got to map it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what's the best way to do this? I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really know how to do it.
I think, you know, if you could break it down into really there's seven pieces of it. The first piece is obviously have a plan. Got to have, again, time to have the map before you get in the woods. The second piece is going to be, how do you maximize your Social Security benefits? And there is, yes, a ton of talk, a ton of gloom, doom and gloom about, is the money going to be there or the benefits going to be paid? But let's just take that off the table for a second and just say that they are going to be paid. You know, how do you maximize the benefits? And you know, people can start collecting at age 62, but is that really when, you know, you're going to start to need the money? Because remember, Social Security continues to grow. The longer you wait, the more you get. And that's a paycheck that keeps coming into your checking account every single month, whether the market goes up, down, or sideways. So maximizing Social Security is a great step two. Step three, and we're certainly seeing this a tremendous amount, is the hybrid retirement, where you stopped working for the company that you maybe stayed for until you were 65, but then you pick up some extra hours. A lot of substitute teachers, a lot of adjunct professors can go in a couple, 3 days a week and really kind of create their own schedule, stay active, and bring in a few extra dollars. Because the more dollars you're able to bring in by working a few more years, into retirement, is going to have a dramatic effect on how much longer your money will last. Okay. And I think step four is going to be, you got to protect your money from inflation. And obviously that's a hot button topic right now. I mean, everybody keeps talking about when rates are going to get cut. And every single number that's tracking inflation that we've seen over the last few months has been going up. So I don't see a rate cut really anytime soon right now, because of the fact that the economy is still overheating and interest rates are already high. And I just don't think they can bring them down. So how do you protect your assets from inflation? And you should have a bucket of assets that are going to be protected from inflation.
Okay, so inflation-proofing your investments. I mean, I hear a lot of people talk about it, but I don't really hear a lot of people with really good ways of doing it.
I like to use a bucket strategy, where you have a bucket of money that's going to be your guaranteed sources of income. This actually is step five, and I'll answer step four. To answer your question on step four too. But step five is, how are you securing your guaranteed sources of income, whether that's Social Security, whether that's pensions, whether those are annuity strategies, real estate. What are your guaranteed sources of income? And you want your guaranteed sources of income in this first bucket to really take care of most of your expenses, if not all of your fixed expenses. If you're carrying a mortgage, pay those off. Utilities, groceries, dry cleaning, your travel, your entertainment, your fun things. Now you want those expenses covered. And the second bucket is where you're able to have those funds, those assets, in investments that are designed to grow. And designed to grow and actually help keep pace with inflation. And whether we're talking about traditional stock and bond and mutual fund investments, ETFs, or going into the alternative investment space. But that second bucket of money needs to outpace at least, or at least keep pace, if not outpace inflation. So it's kind of a 1-2 punch. Secure all your expenses with guaranteed sources of income, and then have your second bucket of money keep pace or outpace inflation.
Right. All right. So, all right. What's the best way? What do you think is the best inflation hedge out there?
I think it's something that is constantly evolving. I mean, there's going to be, obviously, you see a lot of articles and about some traditional stock and bond investing and mutual funds, but also into alternative investments, whether that might be real estate, whether that might be private equity, hedge funds, credit lending. There's a lot of different flavors of alternative investments. And, you know, we do a lot of due diligence on our side to make sure that our suite of alternative investments have really been vetted. And because what we want to make sure that they can do is, and 2022 was a great year to as an example of this, because in 2022, in the stock market and the bond market were both getting clobbered. There were a lot of alternative investments that were still giving positive returns. So they can sometimes be speed breaks as part of your portfolio. So if the market happens to go down and your stock investments aren't going up, the alternative investments can still give you a positive return. So I think it is a mix of some stocks and bonds, as well as layering alternative investments to help not only grow your assets, but if certain sectors are down or certain asset classes are down, you're going to have other asset classes in your portfolio that are going up.
Okay. So some diversification here. What about these, the flavor of the day?
You know, which one now, right?
AI. Sounds like there's an
Well, I mean, AI is obviously changing our worlds, and changing our worlds faster than we could probably comprehend. You know, AI is obviously interesting. You know, I still wouldn't use it to really create a retirement plan for myself. Again, it's going to be some one of those things. It's going to give you more of a cookie cutter type of answer versus something that's completely customizable to you and your situation and what you want your legacy to be.
Okay, so it's the flavor of the day, and hey, maybe NVIDIA is going to infinity, but look what's happened to Tesla recently, so we know about how that works, right?
Yeah, and Tesla came out in the news today that said they had to lay off, I think they're laying off about 10,000 employees, which is something that they never wanted to do. So, you know, it's funny how those flavors of the day, they change quickly.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Today's hero is tomorrow's villain, right?
Well, yeah. I thought you were going to ask me about crypto.
Well, crypto too. So, you know, crypto is hitting mainstream now. We got ETFs, we got funds, we got options, futures. Do we want to be in crypto?
I typically say that you don't want it as a foundation of your overall investment portfolio. And if you want to, I take it almost like the going to the casino night money. And, you know, a lot of people go to the casino night and they say, you know, I've got my $100. And once that's gone, you know, I'm done gambling for the night. And that's kind of how I look at crypto, because it has had some positive times. But I look at it as something I just don't have that confidence to put a significant portion of a portfolio into crypto.
Okay. Well, I buy that. I buy it. So not a significant portion, but is 5% okay?
I think that's something that could be safe. It's not something you want to have if it does go down, does it totally derail your retirement plan? I mean, really, no investment that you should own should really, if they go down, they should not be derailing your overall retirement plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So crypto, precious metals?
Same type of thing. Same type of thing. We hear a lot of news, a lot of advertisements for gold. I mean, again, is this something to put put a portion of your portfolio in, maybe a small portion of it. You know, I think it's something that's, it's again, it's not going to be something that's going to break the overall strategy. It's going to be something that it's more speculative for sure.
Okay, so speculative.
I'm more of a traditional guy, Kerry. I'm more of a traditional type of guy.
Yeah, but you know, like traditionally, what happens? The sheep get shorn; they get slaughtered, right?
Well, I think that's also where I come in with the alternative sleeve, because those are things that there's a wide variety of alternatives. Not all of them are good. I mean, obviously, they have to be vetted very, very carefully. But I think the alternative space is something that's been growing significantly. And for that reason, because, you know, that traditional stock and bond investment of the 60-40 portfolio just hasn't been getting it done like it used to be able to.
Right. Okay. So things have changed, right?
Definitely.
So if somebody's sitting down and they're like getting close to their 60s, and, you know, they've got some savings, maybe not enough investments. What are three things that you think they can do or you could
do? So first thing I would have, obviously, and coming from a financial professional standpoint, they should find a financial professional that they trust and have them build out a retirement projection and say, okay, if we're on this path and we stay on this path in terms of how much we're saving, how much we're investing, you know, a reasonable rate of return over the next 10 to 15 years, what is our, and also understand our expenses and put an inflation rise in that on the expenses as well. What does retirement really look like? How much money is going to come in day one of our retirement? And am I happy about that or am I scared about that? But if I know now, if I know in my 50s, what my retirement projections could look like when I'm 65, I have time to make changes. I have time to change things up, time to make things better for myself. Because I always say to people, you know, retirement is not a duo. It's not a DIY type of project, but it's not a do-over type of situation. You know, when we were growing up and we're playing hide and seek and somebody, you know, when you're 8 or 9 years old is bending the rules, you know, you always said, okay, well, you kind of bend the rules in that one. Let's do a do-over, you know, and you start the game over again. Retirement's not like that. Whenever you decide to pull the trigger on retirement, what you have is what you have. There isn't a do-over and say, I wish I did this 10 or 20 years ago. So the earlier you can diagnose what your retirement may look like and understand, is that something that's attractive to you? It's going to be really, really beneficial for your future. Again, time to have the map is before you enter the woods. If you can get a diagnosis on your retirement in your 50s or 15 years earlier, you have plenty of time to make some changes and make retirement look the way that you want it to look.
All right. Well, I buy it. The sooner the better. An ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure, right?
Yeah. What does Patton say? A gallon of sweat a pint of sweat saves a gallon of blood, type of thing. Maybe that's not kind of negative for a retirement pod, for a retirement conversation.
But it's so true, you know. It's like forewarned is forearmed, right?
Yep.
So we need to take all these things into account. When people think, am I putting enough away in retirement? Don't you think that everybody could put 10% more into retirement than you're doing now?
I think one of the biggest things that is tough to understand is when people think, okay, I'm maxing out my 401k, I'm going to be fine. And I think the problem is that for many of the people that we talk to, and this isn't just ultra high net worth people, right? But a lot of the people that we talk to, the 401k is simply not going to be enough. You have to do some saving on the outside of the 401k. 401k, nothing wrong with it, right? But it may not be enough. And again, it goes back to projecting how much you're going to have saved by the time you retire. Because what we're finding, what we have found is that the 401k is probably not going to be enough. You have to do something else. So I think so. I think a lot of people can save more than they're saving. And I think they can save more than they're saving without it taking a bite out of their lifestyle. You know, they don't want to say, okay, I'm not going to be able to go on vacation this year because I'm saving for retirement. You know, while that sometimes is a rare case, more times than not, it's something that saving a little bit more is not going to take a bite out of your lifestyle to the point where you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess people, you want to know how you can connect and get get to know Erica, where do we find you at these days?
So you can head over to my website. It's emangold.com, www.emangold.com. I do work a lot of medical professionals, but I always say to people, when people say, how do we work with you? You know, is there a minimum or things like that? I always say, I want to work with people that are respectful of our relationship and are fun to work with and actually want my help. So while I do work with a lot of medical professionals, I'm not going to shy away from somebody because if they ask me for my help, I'm going to try to give it to them. But emangold.com is my website. That's where you can learn a little bit more about me, what I try to do for my clients, and also connect if you'd like to connect.
All right. Excellent. Well, the link's in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure when you go there, you sign up for your free newsletter. If you got a question for Eric, myself, email kl@kerrylutz.com. Eric, appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Kerry.
That's it. Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.